These are the most intense and devastating of any of the judgments that have preceded them. Welcome to Through the Bible. That's what our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, tells us as he introduces the final series of judgments during the period of the Great Tribulation. Yep, we're traveling through the book of Revelation in our five-year study of the Word of God. I'm Steve Schwartz, your host, and I'm so glad that you're on the Bible bus with us today. As you find your spot in chapter 14, verse 9, Greg and I have got some really good stories about the impact of God's Word. This time we're taking a look at South Korea.
Yeah, Steve, a country that I've visited many times over the years, wonderful Christian leadership. It really, in many ways, South Korea is regarded as a great success in terms of the spread of the gospel, strong churches. I mean, they have 4 a.m., 5 a.m. prayer meetings, just tremendously strong church. And yet, very surprising statistic from Operation World that around 25% of the 51 million living there have not heard the gospel yet.
And yeah. So, also, if you think about the radio programs, those certainly are going into North Korea to some extent.
They are. They are. We're on a very powerful AM transmitter on Jeju Island, which is a small island at the southern tip of the Korean Peninsula, and it shoots a powerful signal due north that goes all the way up into North Korea, which of course is a completely different story than South Korea, both culturally as well as in terms of the gospel. So, yes, our Korean broadcasts are heard all over the Korean Peninsula, and I think we're going to do something we've done before, which is we want to introduce you to what does it sound like when Through the Bible goes into a different language. So why don't we listen to this brief clip of Through the Bible in Korean.
Maggie 성경 강해 Through the Bible 제공으로 창세기부터 요한계시록까지 강의한 매기 목사님의 강해 설교를 보내드리는 매기 성경 강해. 오늘도 목동 제일교회 김성근 목사님께서.
Now, I don't know if you were paying attention, but two interesting tidbits there. I don't understand Korean, but I picked it up. The first thing is How Firm a Foundation was the theme song at the front end, and that is the only international program that we know.
One of the few. I think there's a couple, but
that uses How Firm a Foundation, and they also call it the McGee Bible Study. That's the only time that Dr. McGee's name is actually used all around the world.
That is correct. There are a couple, but it's very rare, and the key thing we want everybody in our listening family to know is that it's not required. And that goes all the way back to Dr. McGee himself. He said, I don't want my name to appear in the foreign broadcast. Yeah. Now, we allow them, in cases like South Korea, many of the South Korean Christians know who Dr. McGee is. Yeah. And so it adds gravity and it adds sort of a reputable quality to it. And also we don't require them to play How Firm a Foundation. Our goal is for the listener to get the teaching of Dr. McGee in the most culturally appropriate way. And that's kind of worked for us very successfully over many, many decades.
Yeah. Now our Korean producers actually did a really good job by asking the audience to say, tell us why you love the Bible. What are you learning from the program? And it's from those questions that we're getting these types of responses. So Greg, why don't you read that first one for us?
What I learned from the wisdom books of the Bible is impacting my life. King Solomon asked for wisdom necessary to rule his people. Through McGee's Bible study, I am able to reflect on my arrogant and boastful behavior in the past and imagine what God would have thought of it. I'm repenting of those sinful behaviors and asking the Holy Spirit to fill me with wisdom to please God instead.
Wow, here's another one. Here's a listener. Her name's So Seung, and she tells us about what she's learned from our study in the book of Job. I sing a song of hope again today. It always challenges me to hear Job's stories as he never let go of hope even during times of despair. I want to hold on to the Lord who always comforts me when I am having difficulties.
So encouraging.
Yeah. Greg, we're out of time, unfortunately. Why don't you go ahead and pray for us?
Father, we marvel as we look across the world and see how your word is penetrating every corner, and we pray that you'd continue to let your word change people's lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, as I indicated at the beginning, I'm dropping back to verses 19 and 20 of chapter 14, and I'm reading in my translation, "And the angel cast his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the winepress, the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and there came out blood from the wine press, even unto the bridles of the horses, as far as 1,600 furlongs. Now, we have called attention to the fact that the great tribulation period's going to be a harvest time. Not like we think of harvest time. We think of that as a time of winning people for Christ. But that's not the way that the Scripture uses the term. When you come to the end of any age, why, that is a harvest time. And somebody's going to say, but the Lord Jesus said, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he'd send forth laborers into the harvest. And they said, look, he said that. Yes, but my friend, don't you realize what he was talking about? He was at the end of an age. In fact, he was going to change it. The age of the law was coming to an end. And he's wanting the word to get out so people will be prepared for the new age that was coming, the age of grace that we live in today, that rests upon his death and his resurrection for our sins. Now, the end of an age is the time of harvest, and that's the figure that's used here. And when you get here, you've come to the end of the age, the thing that the Lord Jesus mentioned, Paul had mentioned, and it ends with the great tribulation period. And we've come now to the end of the great tribulation period. And this sets before us this most awe-inspiring picture. It describes the scene that we have in Isaiah, the 63rd chapter. And we find out that that refers to the second coming of Christ to the earth. Let me read just a few verses there. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine vat? Now let me interject here this statement. This has been considered by many to be a picture of the death of Christ on the cross, and it actually has no reference to that at all. And this will make it clear. I have trodden a winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. And I will tread down the people in mine anger, make them drunk in my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth. Again, let me say, he is seen treading the winepress alone, and it's positively terrifying. Little wonder that the men of the earth cried to the rocks to fall upon them and hide them from the wrath of the Lamb. Now this is the sad end of that civilization, which at the Tower of Babel demonstrated an active rebellion against God, which has been mounting up like a mighty crescendo ever since, and it will break in all of its fury in the great tribulation period. And this is a rebellion against God. And the Lord Jesus, as we'll see in the 19th chapter, when he comes, he's going to put that down in order to establish his kingdom here upon the earth. And as the second Psalm says, he will break them like a potter's vessel with a rod of iron. You see, the gentle Jesus that we've heard so much about, and the good fella that he's presented today, is just not the Lord Jesus of the Word of God. He is the Savior of the world, but he's also the judge of all the world also. And if you do not accept his blood shed for you, then may I say that your blood will be shed in this period that's coming upon the earth. That is, if it would come in your lifetime and you would enter the great tribulation period. Now, I don't think that any careful study of the Word of God would lead any person of reasonable intelligence to believe that the church is going through this awful period. My feeling is that a great many feel like the great tribulation will be like taking a little boy to the barber to get his hair cut. Just an unpleasant thing that he doesn't relish at all, and he squirms through it the entire operation. Or that it is a trip to the dentist to have a tooth pulled, and we don't like the trip at all, and we don't enjoy having the tooth pulled, but it's something that you're going through, and they want to push the church into it. My friend, you just haven't seen what the Great Tribulation really is. Now, again, we have a picture given to us in Isaiah 34, and I begin reading here at verse 1. Come near, ye nations, to hear, and hearken, ye people. Let the earth hear, and all that is therein, the world and all things that come forth of it. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them to the slaughter. Their slain also shall be cast out, and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountain shall be melted with their blood. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It's made fat with fatness, with the blood of the lambs and goats, and so on. What a picture that you have here. In other words, the precious blood of the Lamb, having been rejected, the blood of those who defied God and followed and worshiped the beast, bathes the earth. It is frightful, like a ripe grape is mashed and the juice flies in every direction. So will little man fall into the vat of God's judgment. This is Armageddon. This is the mount of slaughter. And without the city means Jerusalem. And unto the bridles of the horses means about 3 or 4 feet deep. And 1,600 furlongs is about 185 miles. And that's the distance from Dan to Beersheba. All of Palestine is the scene of this final war that ends in what is called Armageddon. It is a campaign beginning about the middle of the Great Tribulation and is concluded by the personal return of Christ to the earth. Psalm 45, verse 3 gives us that. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty, and in thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness, and thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness, hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Psalm 45 is a messianic psalm. Now, I make no apology for saying all of this. And God hasn't asked me to apologize for his word. He's told me to give it out. We need to face up to the facts. Sin is an awful thing. Sin is in the world. You and I are sinners, and the only remedy is the redemption that Christ offered when he shed his blood for you and me and paid the penalty for our sins. And you and I merit the judgment of God. And our only escape is to accept the work of Christ on Calvary's cross for us. And the Bible asks a question that even God can't answer, and it is, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation. Escape what? Judgment. The great tribulation is judgment. And the way out is to accept Christ. Call it an escape mechanism if you want to. But my friend, when the house is on fire, I'll go out a window. I'll go out anyway. That is an escape mechanism. And this judgment must inevitably come on Christ's rejecters. Men have rejected him and treated his sacrifice as an unclean thing. They've trodden underfoot the Son of God. And if God is just, and he is, there will be judgment. And this age needs to hear that, but it's not hearing it today. There's so much given, little methods of living the Christian life. My friend, there's nothing that'll straighten you out like knowing that our God is a holy God and the Lord Jesus Christ is righteous, and he's not going to tolerate sin in your life and my life. Now, that's the thing that is needed today. And I notice that many are saying that little Willie should be disciplined. I'm amazed at some of the psychologists today are saying it wasn't because Mama didn't love him as much as she should have. That the trouble with little Willie is he's just a mean little brat. That's his problem. He's a mean little brat, and he should be turned across your knee and not treated like a cross between a piece of Dresden china and an orchid, but that the Board of Education should be applied to the seat of knowledge today. All right, that brings us now to chapter 15. And here we have another sign in heaven, seven angels with the seven last plagues. And we have the pouring out of these seven mixing bowls of wrath in chapters 15 and 16. I imagine many of you thought the worst was over. Not now. The worst is yet to come. And each one of these sevens, beginning as we saw with the seven seals, and the seven trumpets, and the seven personalities, and now we have the seven bowls of wrath. And this is the worst of all, friend. Don't tell me that the church can be purified in the Great Tribulation. The purpose of the Great Tribulation is judgment. It's to give Satan his final opportunity. And God's going to remove his church because of the fact of his marvelous infinite grace. And if you're willing to have it, then you can escape. And believe me, it's no blessed hope looking for the seven bowls of wrath. No, we're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. And if we get in love with him, we'll get our minds off of these things as being terrifying. That is, we don't have to say, oh, I don't want to study the book of Revelation. It reveals all those terrible things, and I'd like to keep my head in the sand like an ostrich has more sense to do. And therefore, I'd rather not hear about it. My friend, you're not going through it if you've trusted Christ, but you need to know what the others will have to go through. And that might make you a zealous witness for Christ today. That's the reason we're getting the word out today. Someone said of Dwight L. Moody that at his time he looked into the faces of more people than any man that ever lived, and he reduced the population of hell by 2 million. Well, may I say that I'd like to be in the business of reducing the population of hell. They're talking today about reducing the population and to get rid of the population explosion. Well, hell has had a population explosion now for years. I'd like to help reduce that. And now we come to these seven bowls. Here we have in chapter 15 and 16 that which actually belongs together. Revelation 15 we're coming to now is the shortest chapter in Revelation, but it actually is the preface to this final series of judgments which come on the earth during the Great Tribulation period. And these judgments are the most intense and devastating of any that have preceded them. Before these angels begin to pour out the bowls of wrath, there may be the question still in the minds of some if they are able to stand up against Antichrist. And if that question has not been answered to the satisfaction of the reader, it's answered here. There will be those that will be made to stand. And we have, first of all, now the preparation of the final judgment of the great tribulation. And the tribulation saints in heaven worship God because he's holy. And this is another interlude, by the way. Now, let's notice this. And I saw another sign in the heaven, great and wonderful. Seven angels having seven plagues, which are the last, for in them was finished the wrath of God. This will bring us to the end of the great tribulation period. And I don't know about you, I'll be glad to get to the end of it. And then we'll see the coming of Christ to the earth. John again assures us when he says, "And I saw," that he's still a spectator to these events. He's attending the dress rehearsal of the last act of man's little day upon the earth. And another sign connects this chapter with Revelation 12:1. We had the first sign, and that was Israel. Now, these seven angels of wrath are connected with the judgments to follow until Christ comes, which is in chapter 19. Now, from chapter 12 to the return of Christ is a series of events which are mutually related. Now, this does not mean that there's a chronological order, but rather a logical order, which is a retracing of the same events with added detail. And this method, by the way, is the personal signature of the Holy Spirit. Beginning in Genesis, he put down his signature there. And Genesis 1, we had the creation and the 7 days given to us. Then when we came to chapter 2, he lifted out the creation of man and went over that again, but added details. That's known as the law of recapitulation. And it runs all the way through the scripture. You have the giving of the law, then Deuteronomy is the interpretation of the law with 40 years' experience with it in the wilderness, and a great deal of detail has been added. Now, we see that it'll go all the way through the scripture. When you come to Christ, you have four gospels, not one, not two, but four, because it'll take four to give the many sides of this glorious person who came to the earth 1,900 years ago. Now, Satan, having been cast to the earth, brings down his wrath upon the remnant of Israel. Also, he makes a final thrust for world domination through the two beasts. Then God makes a final display of his wrath and concludes earth's sordid tragedy of sin. The Lord said unto my Lord, "Sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." That is Psalm 110:1. And we're told here it was finished. Now, in the Greek, that's a prophetic aorist which considers an event in the future as already accomplished. Now, we have mentioned here the wrath of God, and that marks the final judgment of the great tribulation. God has been slow to anger, but here ends his long-suffering. Judgment in the final stages of the day of wrath proceeds from God, not from Satan, nor the wild beast, but it comes from the throne of God. God will judge. We are going to see here this preparation for this final picture that's given to us of the great tribulation period. But we're going to have to wait till next time to consider it in detail. So until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Our journey through Revelation continues Monday. Until then, for more great teaching by Dr. McGee, why don't you join us for a Sunday sermon? This Sunday it's called Hell, Fact or Fiction. To listen online, visit ttb.org or call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE if we can help you out. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll meet you here again on the Bible Bus.
Jesus made it all, unto him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Our story on the Bible Bus today is just one step in a 5-year journey through the entire Word of God. Come along for the ride, and you'll study both the Old Testament and New Testament, discovering God's great redemption story. Is this your story too?